Hey, everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is Sherlock.
Oh,
it's me, Sherlock.
This is the Nintendo, the best and Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is going to be a mini show for the month of November 2020.
You sound kind of tired.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Is your heart not in it?
I already did a solo show where I talked about games by myself for 45 minutes, so I don't have a whole hell of a lot. There are some things I can talk about, though. So you're going to be doing the heavy lifting here.
Which isn't good, because I'm in video game limbo right now.
Please, get us started, then. It's a mini show. We'll talk about whatever we want. We will try to focus on some games.
You can talk about whatever.
Yeah.
No, well, right now I'm in this weird spot with you. Echo's here. Wow, your cat's alive. I haven't seen your cat in months. Your cat's like never around.
She's not. Well, she's social, but if not with strangers, like.
Oh, I feel loved.
I don't know if she's warmed up to anybody else.
Let's see, she'll come to me. Come here. No. Give me the fuck you look. All right. Okay. Good cat.
Bye, kitty.
So I'm in video game limbo because the new expansion of Hearthstone's coming out sometime this month. Don't know when. Shadowlands comes out later this month. So I'm kind of like waiting for those games to go. And so like everybody that I play games with, Mitch, my buddy Jeff, your brother.
Uh-huh.
We're just kind of just playing whatever we can. Oh, there's another. I just thought of a game we could talk about.
Cool.
Oh, okay. Here we go. I'll talk about this game. Mitch and I played this a bit and I want to play more with him. So I don't like horror.
Uh-huh.
I'm not good with horror movies. I don't like being scared. I'm a little girl. At heart.
Uh-huh.
And that's... So if Mitch came to me the other day and it was like, hey, I'm going to buy you a game and we're going to play this. And I'm buying it because I know you're not going to buy it yourself. So here he goes. So we started playing Phasmophobia.
I've never heard of this.
This is a computer game. It's kind of like any game. I think it was made by like two guys. But the entire premise of this game is essentially, you've seen these cheesy ghost hunting TV shows where the guys go out, they start, are you there? Out in the middle of the... It's that. Except there's, you know, actual ghosts. So
it's that, except they're not just idiots and hucksters.
Yeah, exactly. There's a premise to it. And so you'll go out to these houses and there's different layouts. Like the one of them is a house in a suburban area. One is a farmhouse. There's a high school. There's one in an asylum. And you go to these places and you use certain equipment to run tests to see if you can figure out what kind of ghost it is. And that's the overall objective of the level, is to figure out what ghost you're dealing with. And they have some bonus objectives. You start out in this van, and on like the whiteboard it tells you like the ghost's name is Jeff and he only responds to one person at a time, and blah, 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 blah. And then it gives you a bonus objectives of figuring out what kind of ghost you're dealing with.
Wait, equipment. The thing, like, only responds to one person at a time. Like, what sort of significance does that...
There is a item that you use called Spirit Box.
Okay.
And when you turn it on, you say things like, where are you? And the spirit box, it will talk through.
Okay.
And go behind. And you go, oh, the ghost is behind me. So it's a way to say, figure out where the ghost is for one thing. And then also you have a journal that tells you about different kinds of ghosts. And only certain kinds will respond. So that gives you one of the clues about what this could be.
Okay.
There's other ones that you can leave a book out and they'll write in the book.
So the objective is to identify like what kind of ghost it is and where it is?
Exactly.
Oh, interesting.
And so by the time you figure that out, you just go back to the van, close the doors, and leave. There's some other objectives, like use this type of thing. Get a picture of dirty water, which is one of the signs of the ghost. You fill sinks with the water and it goes dirty, then the ghost did something.
Mm.
Other things like that. And those change.
I'm stuck on this only response to one person thing. It makes me wonder what sort of person Jeff was in real life. Like, this is Jeff. He is completely incapable of multitasking. If two people try to talk with him, he just shuts down.
Yeah. I got nothing witty to respond to that.
Okay.
So, different tools do different things. Like, one of the things you can do is set up a camera in a room and just leave. and you'll see a little orbs back in the van on the TV. You'll see orbs flow around, and that's another one of the clues. That's another one of the clues.
The way you're describing it reminds me of a game that I talked about a few days ago when I was solo called Return of the Obra Dinn, where you're walking around this ship, right?
And that was a black and white thing, yeah.
And all of the objectives is like identify who all the people are, how they died, and who killed them, if it was in fact a homicide.
Huh.
But that game, I talked a little. Of course, about like I said just a few seconds ago, I talked about it already. It's inscrutable. Like I cannot figure. Like it's asking you to make these sort of like deductions and inductions and sort of like do some guesswork at the beginning. Our buddy Jason from the Discord group, he got it as well and was struggling with it, but he pressed forward and eventually things started to fall into place. I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't played it in several days at this point. I'll get back to it once I clear the deck a little bit, but I'm working through Mario Galaxy and Xenoblade still. So once I finish some other things off, I'll get back to it. But yeah, it's sort of like a mystery game, like you're describing.
Basically, except it is very heavy horror, as in you have a time limit, and based on what kind of difficulty you're playing on determines like the length of the time limit. But within that time limit, you could do whatever you want and everything, but as soon as the time limit passes, then the ghost will start kind of hunting you.
Okay.
And things get creepy, even during the time limit. Like, you'll hear doors open and shut. They may just walk up and whisper and just leave.
Creepy.
It's just really creepy things throughout here and there. Like, oh, fuck, where is he?
You mentioned that you and Mitch are playing as, like, cooperative?
Yeah. You can have up to four people.
As your ghost squad?
Up to four people. Yeah, a little ghost squad. And it's helpful on certain maps a lot. Like, we did the high school, which is a big place. So they went to the right, and we went to the left. We didn't want to be alone in case, you know, bad things happen.
So you can die together.
We get to die together. But when these ghosts start hunting, your flashlight starts to flicker.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the doors to the building shut and get locked, and the ghost will appear, and you essentially have to run and hide and hope the ghost doesn't find you. And the one time, because Mitch and I are just learning the game, so we're playing on low difficulty, and the one time we got a hunt going on, Mitch and I were in this room that we knew the ghost was in, and we're trying to figure out the last clue, and the light started to flicker, and I look over to Mitch and he's standing in the corner. One thing I should say before this is we don't use Discord. The game has its own in-game chat.
Oh.
And so there's one button that you press to talk, as in if you're in the same room. Uh-huh. But there's a separate button to use like a walkie-talkie. So you could call people that are like at the van. And so there's two different things. And they do affect things. Because you'll hear people in the other room talking. They're using the local speech. So it actually adds more to the atmosphere.
Hmm.
So we're sitting there, I look over to Mitch, and all of a sudden it starts flickering, and this really creepy dead person just shows up right in front of Mitch and flickerings in and out of existence. So I immediately turn and run and leave Mitch and die. Fuck that guy. I run around the corner, and I get into a room, and I crouch, and all the lights are off, there's no lights. I try to go on the walkie, go, it's haunting, run, and it's just static. And then, because we're not using Discord, the hunt is over. The other two guys were out in the van, so it was just Mitch and I in the building. And so I go, okay, I survived. I'm like, Mitch? Mitch, buddy?
And Mitch died in real life.
Because he's dead, so he's not going to be able to talk anymore in the game. It followed him upstairs, and the last thing Mitch saw were these hands going, reaching around him and choking the life out of him.
Goddamn.
Yeah, this game is creepy as fuck. But it's so much fun.
So when when you get like spotted or something, like the haunt begins, the door is locked, you can't escape, and you just like have to hide until the ghosts forget about you.
Essentially, you just have to survive.
Because spending so much time in purgatory makes them forget how humans work. Like, we've locked the doors, but we can't find them. They must be gone. Well, we got Mitch. That's all we are after.
That's all we got.
We don't care about the other guy.
Fuck about
him. What do the people in the van do?
They can't get in the building. They do nothing. They just go, well, all right.
Well, what are
those guys are fucked. I like it.
What do they do when it's not locked down.
Oh, you can go back and forth between the van. Like, you only can carry 3 items on you at once, but you can buy items in between missions to add to it. Like, there's a spirit chalk that you can burn that will, like, repel the ghost. So if it starts hunting, okay, you can pop this real quick. There's other things you can grab. And so there's also the TV in the van that will, if you have any cameras set up, you can look at there and look at the thing. There's the objective board, and there's another board that shows activity. So the ghost is active, it spikes. And also, every character has their own sanity as well, which slowly decreases as you go along. And the more your sanity goes down, the more likely the ghost is going to go and fuck you up.
Okay, so that makes you more susceptible to the ghost attacks.
Yes.
Hmm.
But it's a fun little game, and just the creepy thing about it is just the atmosphere of it all. The worst was the asylum, where it didn't haunt us, but the scariest thing for me was we were downstairs, we were going through the asylum, and we pretty much covered the full first floor of the asylum, which was creepy as fuck. And we were about to go upstairs, and then Mitch and I stop, and we just looked at each other without saying a word. And then we looked back in the direction we were facing, and sure enough, there were stairs leading down to the basement. And then I just heard Mitch whimpering, like, oh, fuck, we gotta go downstairs, don't we? I'm like, yep, we do. And we found him in this weird room downstairs, and I remember we're trying to figure out what it is, and we're like, all right, well, the worst ghost is a devil, is a demon. And the last clue we need is if he writes something down, then we know it's a demon. And they're the worst because they will murder you brutally. And I remember pulling out the book, and I didn't even get a chance to put it down before I just wrote in there. And then the lights flickered, and I just turned and ran like a bitch.
We got a demon.
Like, yep, we're going.
We'll leave this just to the priests.
Yep, we're done. But, you know, it's a good game. It's a lot of fun. Really creepy. You got to play with all the lights off. And, yeah. Yeah, it was creepy. But the cooperative part of it is a lot of fun. It's good stuff.
So we were just playing a game earlier that you bought me.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Oh, thanks.
You are 47 years old.
I'm so close to death.
Yeah, that's the spirit.
And you got me the BioShock collection, yep, which is great. I've been wanting to get that since it came out.
And this really was an eye-opener to me. You were really bad at shooters.
I was trying to think when we were setting up here, like, what was the last actual shooter that I played? And, like, there's the Metroid Prime games, if you even count those as shooters. I don't know, like, there's the whole, like, debate, which is fucking decades old at this point, about, like, if those games are first-person shooters or first-person adventures, and what's the distinction between the two. I think that there's an important distinction in that in these Metroid Prime games there are lock-ons to where, like, the shooting just becomes like a button mashing. There doesn't have to be any sort of skill involved with lining up your shots. So I think, like, if you're doing that, like, if you have something to where you can just point the gun and mash, the shooting mechanic can't be a primary focus if the game is doing a lot of the work for you. And I compare that also to, like, something like a Resident Evil. Like, I've been playing a lot of Resident Evil 2 as research for the retro show. And there's an auto-aim in that game. Like, I wouldn't classify Resident Evil as a shooter for a couple reasons. Because of all the emphasis on just, like, the lateral puzzle solving. But then also, when you go
it's
to aim...
It's not first-person.
Right, it's not a first-person shooter. But I wouldn't even classify it as a third-person shooter. Because if you're just in a room with a zombie, even if you can't see them and you, like, ready your weapon, it'll just automatically click over to them.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So it's more about managing your resources and scarcity of ammunition and things like that. But, so Metroid, I wouldn't count any of those Prime games as shooters. Like, I honestly can't remember the last first-person shooter I played. I don't know. I didn't own one on Wii U. There's, like, light gun games on Wii, and I guess those are kind of first-person shooters, but you're not, like, moving your character, you're just, like, on a rail. Like, games like Dead Space Extraction or the Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles games. House of the Dead. So...
God, that game was ridiculous.
Yeah, that game is ridiculous. I really don't remember the last time I played, like, a
traditional, honest, 100%.
This is a first-person shooter. I don't. It might have been an N64 game.
Oh,
it's
God.
Entirely possible.
Oh my God.
But you kept on like telling me like you're aiming too low. There's like a targeting reticle, and ideally you have it in the middle. But I'm so used to like.
Two-thirds of your screen is floor. You're right. Aiming too low.
Well, I've been playing a lot of Mario platformers because of the 35th anniversary 3D All-Star Collection. And so I'm used to playing these platformers in which, like, I want to know the things that are directly in front of me. Like, I need to know if I need to jump or not. So, like, my automatic thing is like, okay, I need to watch where I'm going. I need to watch where I'm moving. And that's not really the way you're playing these first-person shooters. Because someone will start running at me. He's like, oh, okay, got to look up. We got
to
shoot him now.
Yeah, you're, like, taking way too much time to, like, lock onto him and shoot him. Like, yeah, they shouldn't be able to cross the entire room to get at you before you...
I know it's a very intimate experience. I want to see if anyone's going to be my friend. I was actually expecting, because it's a fairly straightforward first-person shooter. I was actually
so far, yeah. Overall, it mostly is. There's some areas that get a little bit bigger, but overall, it's you're just hallways.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, I don't mind that sort of thing. Like, if it actually works to my advantage to know that most enemies are just going to come at me from directly ahead, I'm fine with that. I was expecting a little bit more like, oh, you found this thing. You need to go use it over here to open the door. Like, have more adventure-y stuff like that. Which, you know, we did get to the part where you're first able to, like, hack a drone and have it fly around and kill things for you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of thing is cool. And it reminded me a bit of, like, Metroid Prime 3, where, you know, you have to open up the panel and weld the circuits together and do some, like, the motion stuff like that.
That type of mechanic in Bioshock 1 gets old.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of hacking that you can do in that game. And so by the time you're doing it for, like, the 30th time, you're like, God damn it, these pipes.
Mm.
And they fix that in Bioshock 2. And I can't remember exactly what it is. I think it's literally just a meter and you gotta time it right. I think it's literally just something like that. And it takes 4 seconds to hack something.
Well, it's a bit clumsy. Like, I don't mind those sort of puzzles where, like, hey, you have your the water is starting here, you need to make sure the pipes are all lined up so it exits the right spot. That kind of thing is pretty common in a lot of adventure games. What I don't like about this first one that I played, I don't want to pass too many judgments on it, but you're uncovering all of the tiles. You have to click on all the tiles to see what pipes are available to you, and you're not really sliding them around. What you're doing is banking one, and then the one in the bank you can choose to replace.
Yeah, so it's a swap mechanic.
Yeah, like on the grid. So, I don't know. That sort of thing, I think it would have been a lot more elegant of a solution. It was just like, here are all the pipes, and you just swap them without, like, you click one, you click the other, and then those two just swap places. Hmm. Rather than you click one, and it swaps with the one in your bank, and then you can put the one that you put into the bank wherever you want.
Yeah. I think it's more like grabbing and then putting. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I think that
it gets a little bit more complex playing around. There's different kinds of pipes and there's stuff in the way, and so they get a little complex as the game goes on. But that mechanic gets really old by the end of the game, and you're like, I don't even want to fucking hack this thing for a discount. Like, I don't even care. I'll pay full price, whatever. Like, it just gets annoying.
I also think I need to sit closer to the TV. Des got a new TV as an anniversary gift from work. Because I was, ever since we moved into this house, I've been wanting to get a new, bigger TV. Because the TV that's in the playroom, or in the recording room, where we are right now.
Is that 43?
Yeah, I think it's a 43 or a 46. I've had that one for a long time. And it's a good-sized TV for this room.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
And it was a good-sized TV for the living room at the old place.
Yep.
The living room now is a lot bigger. So I was like, I'm going to want a bigger TV, so I don't have to, like, push the couches closer when I want to play a game. And Des was able to get a new TV from work and pay nothing. It ended up being the same size. And now I don't really want to have the conversation like, yeah, we got that new free TV, but I think we should buy another one. Like, that's not...
They're pretty cheap nowadays. You can get, like, a 65 for, like, 3 something. I mean, they're cheap,
which is crazy, because I think when I got this thing, God, it must have been almost 10 years ago that I bought this thing, and it was like $600.
Oh God.
Yeah. I mean, and that was cheap then for a 1080p. Anyway. Yeah. So, I think I need to sit closer to really get the hang of or the at least like the visual of what I'm doing, because I'm bypassing a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're like, look down, there's three more corpses you didn't loot. I'm like, oh, okay, look at that.
Mm-hmm. You just walked right by the Evo mm-hmm. thing. Come on.
What's the Evo thing?
That's something they're storing.
Oh, the injection. Yes,
the blue. You just walked by a blue. Blue and red. It's not that complex.
I was also weirdly fascinated by the architecture of it, because I'm like, how tall is my character?
You're being really nitpicky there. Holy shit. This railing is far too short, but yet this thing doesn't even come to this sculpture doesn't even come to my waist.
There was this massive, model of the underwater city that you're in, and, like, your face only goes to, like, the plaque on it, like, telling you what this is. Like, cool. But shouldn't this be lower so I can actually look at the thing? You look down when you're in a museum or whatever to, like, look at the plaque, but it's right at eye level. And then you go down the stairs, and the railing is weirdly low.
It's, like, by your kneecaps. What is this?
Who was this place designed for? What sort of people? Like, they're just, like, people with like, extremely long necks or something? I don't know.
It was weird. We spent, like, 10 minutes in the first room where you get the wrench just because you were distracted by this shit.
Well, and I was trying to, like, go around whacking everything with the wrench. Like, should I destroy things?
What you do in that room is you beat one guy to death with a wrench, you grab the electro power-up, and you shoot the door and go. You're, like, spending, like, 15, 20 minutes yeah. just looking around at shit in there. Like, why does this go to my waist? Like, I don't... why am I the same height as this floor lamp? I don't understand.
Why is he the same height as the floor lamp?
Don't know.
Anyway.
You seem really calm about the plane crashing into the pipe. You're like, oh, look at that.
I found
the plane.
There's this set piece where you're walking through, like, the glass tunnel, and the tail of the plane that you crash landed into this underwater city and, like, crashes through. Like, oh, look, there's the plane. All right, walk through, moving on.
Like, I'm just so nonchalant about this.
Oh, no, that sort of, like, environment, maybe I'm just accustomed to that sort of thing happening in video games at this point. Like, yep, things got shitty. Yeah. It's got to move through.
It's going on.
What else you got? That's BioShock. I'm looking forward to getting to more of it. I'm glad to finally be able to try these things, because... If nothing, like, even if I'm bad at first-person shooters, which I am, if nothing else, I'm having a good time, like, picking apart the logic of the game.
No, that's great. Yeah, BioShock 1 and 2 are in the same city, mm-hmm. and then BioShock 3, you're in a completely different city, different story altogether, and it's a city in the sky.
Yes.
So, and that game is so good. The story is a mindfuck. And things go from really nice and quaint to what the fuck is happening kind of quick. It's great.
That was the other thing. Like, there's this guy talking to me in BioShock on the radio.
Yeah.
And I'm not listening to a word he's saying. We're talking over him. Like, and he's, like, telling me something about, like, the little girls, little yeah. sisters. And, like, I see one, and he's like, oh, that's a little sister, and blah, 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 blah. Like, Wes, I don't think I can trust this guy. Like, why am I listening to him? Is he trustworthy? And you're like, spoilers. Like, okay, so clearly not. am I the villain? Am I the bad guy here? Because I'm killing all the people who are injecting themselves with stuff, but then I'm doing the same thing. What exactly is happening?
Junkie killing junkies. I mean, it's messed up.
I'm not so sure I'm the hero. Was I even on that plane at all? Was there ever a plane, Wes?
Oh my god. No, we missed, because I was talking, I was having a conversation with your wife.
Right.
While you're killing people on the screen.
Uh-huh. Or trying my damnedest to.
Or trying your damnedest to. I like how the burst...
I burned through three health items because I just mashed it. It's not working. Oh, I used them all.
The first time I used the healing items, you used four of them all at once. One fully heals you? All right.
Well, it worked out okay, because I loaded the save, and then I was like, okay, where are the enemies coming from? Oh, they're jumping to that pool of water? Cool. I'll electrocute it. Everything was fine this time.
I was talking to your wife, and so you're distracted and didn't hear about the dude popping off the radio. He was like, oh, I'll help you. You help me find my wife and son. And you're helping this dude find his wife and son.
Okay.
So he's leading you through this to get to a point where you can help him do stuff.
Okay. What's in it for me, though?
He's going to get you out of there.
Gotcha. With where all the crazies are.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I'm not so sure about this.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got?
So I watched a movie.
Uh-huh.
And apparently you've watched this movie at some point. Hotel Artemis.
Yes.
I watched this the other night. It was interesting.
It's been a while since I've seen it. I saw it when it first released on Blu-ray, or rented it. I don't remember liking it all right, but I don't remember too much about it. It's got this one with like Jodie Foster,
yep.
And she's this sort of medical semi-professional, where she like used to be a doctor, but it just kind of like runs this sort of makeshift hospital or clinic for career criminals who need a place to shelter.
Yes,
when they're on the lam.
Yes.
And then wait, what's the impetus? Like they become like under siege?
Not really.
So shit goes awry, of course, because it would have to, otherwise it would be a really boring movie.
Yeah.
But what's the thing? Who was the antagonist in that movie? I don't even remember.
I don't even think there really is an antagonist. I think it's supposed to be the wolf guy. I already forgot what the guy fucking was called. But the entire movie, they're talking about this dude briefly here and there. They're hinting at him. Like, the guy who owns Los Angeles, and he will murder you if you steal from him, and bad things happen. And then his son is, like, telling Jodie Foster, we're on our way with what's-his-face, because he's injured. And it's this whole thing with him, it ends up working out. It was very weird.
And it causes a lot of strife with the other people who are under her care.
Yes.
At the time.
But they don't know about it until like they show up. So mm-hmm. they don't even know he's on his way. But the big thing is that there's a cop that shows up at the door looking for Jodie Foster's character. Because okay. she knows about her and they know each other from their past. Which I'm still unsure of how. I think she was involved with her Jodie Foster's son that's dead. I don't really know. And so like she's taking care of the cop and just weird stuff's happening. There's not like a... If you had to like really peg like this is the main character, it's going to be Jodie Foster's character, I think.
Uh-huh.
And the other characters are just kind of there. But it was weird. There wasn't really any great focus to it. And you don't really have like even that much of an arc going on in the movie.
Huh.
It's just kind of like shit go down. Charlie Sheen's... Not Charlie Sheen. God, what's his name? Charlie...
Chaplin?
No, who's the guy from Always Sunny?
Charlie Day.
Charlie Day.
Mm-hmm.
His character was fun. He was just some kind of...
God, this is gonna...
Arms dealer.
This is gonna require a second viewing. I don't remember him at all in the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
It was kind of just this loudmouth arms dealer that just kind of fucked things up here and there, but it really wasn't that big of a deal.
Mm.
I don't even know what happened to him at the end of it. You just see him running... And, like, that's it. Like, they don't even address anything with him after that.
Get your life together, Kat. she was trying to claw her way up the futon and just fell. She couldn't make it.
Right when you address her presence.
Uh-huh.
There isn't even, like, a payoff to the end of the movie. The payoff is Jodie Foster left the hotel for the first time in, like, 3+ years.
Hmm.
And then she went off to help people.
That's supposed to be like a awkward moment or something?
Yeah. And you don't really care.
Okay.
Like it was still a fun movie, but it's not like, man, that was a good... It was fine.
Hmm.
Gary... Busey. Not Gary Busey.
Oldman.
Is this Gary Oldman?
What else was he in?
The guy's name?
I don't know.
The fucking guy that played the philosophical guy from Jurassic Park. What's his face?
Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum's in it. He's the main bad guy. He's the big bad
God,
wolf guy.
I do not remember this at all.
Really?
My goodness. Okay.
Yeah, he's like the main... And he kind of shows up and does some weird stuff. You're like, oh, that's Jeff. That's Jeff Goldblum.
Are you trying to call him Gary?
Gary, I almost called him Gary. Gary Goldblum. Let's mix him.
Jeff Goldblum's cousin.
Gary Goldblum. He does the vocals for basketball.
He was, did, played a character in the direct-to-DVD Jurassic Park 4. I'm making this up. We're inventing this version. No, it's not true.
This is an unprepared show.
Now, what else we got? Talk about Gary Goldblum more.
That guy is a joy, though.
Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Not Gary.
It's kind of
easy to get his shit together.
It's kind of funny because he kind of, with God, it must have been in those Thor movies. He kind of turned himself into a meme where everyone just gets real excited to see him now. Where I feel like there was a good 10 or 15 year period where no one gave a shit about Jeff Goldblum anymore.
Yeah. And it required Thor to get him back into the works of things.
Yeah. Yeah. And now just everyone's in the MCU. Like every actor you can ever think of is going to be in there at some point. But yeah. What's the next Marvel movie coming out? Do they even have one this year anymore?
Well, the Black Widow movie got delayed into oblivion because of COVID.
Yeah.
And I don't know what their plan is for releasing it, but we're already seeing trailers and shit for the Scarlet Witch movie.
Right.
Where she loses her mind and now there's Vision.
I think that was supposed to... Oh, no, the Scarlet Witch one. No, that's that Disney Plus show.
Is that a show on Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that was going to be a show.
Yeah, WandaVision. Hector was telling me about it the other day. I think it's out in January.
That's pretty cool. I'm on board for it being a show.
I don't know if it's like supposed to be like an ongoing thing or just a mini-series or something. I don't know.
Probably a mini-series. Oh, there's another mini-series I watched. I watched on Netflix the Queen's Gambit.
I watched a little bit of that.
It was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, what happened last? I got to the point where she was having a lot of success, but then also started taking the tranquilizers again. She's addicted to these drugs that were given to her when she was in an orphanage. But she was winning a lot of chess matches. And then, you know, I liked what I watched so far, but whenever I'm just kind of sitting around and like, maybe I'll watch another episode of something, I look at it and it's like, nah, maybe another time.
The shows are very slow because it's more of a intellect kind of show.
You're more cerebral.
It's more like trying to figure out like why she's doing these things, and then you're watching them play chess, but you're not even like learning anything about the games themselves or the strategies.
Well, that would
depth about it.
That I think that's a good decision. That would be so dry if they're like, here's how you do this particular strategy. Like, no one's interested.
I think it would be fine on certain matches, like the big championship match. That way, there's kind of like building suspense about it being close or anything like that. Because everything we're drawing from the matches is just like their facial expressions and reactions to things.
There's a lot of, like, staring at each other, trying to keep a blank face. Yeah,
and I think if they added a little bit more, like, about the strategy and, like, actually seeing how the game is played and how it could go, then I think that would build a little bit more suspense with the actual thing. But there's... Even the suspense of the show is pretty dim.
Huh. It's tough to figure out.
It's a good show. I think it's worth a watch.
They started the show with a scene where she is going, she's late for a match because she's like in her hotel room and kind of like it seems like she's waking up from a bender or something. She's like she had a rough night the night before. So you know the show is leading to like her having a lot of success as a professional chess player. It's kind of showing how she's getting there, but I'm not sure what it is all leading up to. Like, are we just supposed to be, like, watching this character on this ascent toward success playing this game while she's sort of descending into this drug-addicted lifestyle?
Basically, yeah. So you're watching her as she's dealing with drugs and alcohol and then just playing chess and then relationships that she's having with certain people and then things like that.
But this isn't based on... Anyone in particular.
It's completely... I actually Googled this because I had no idea if this was based on anything or not. Mm-hmm. But no, it's a completely made-up story. The tranquilizer is even a made-up drug, which they don't even address what it does.
Well, then this is a...
It's a drug.
It's interesting because it is sort of, like, presented as a person's life story, as if you're going to be following some sort of a journey of, like a historical... biography of a person, but it's not. And you know, in terms of like actually making a show or a film or something, it doesn't really matter if the person was real or not, but I think it does, like it gives you a sort of like,
feels like that,
right? It gives you like this when something's based on actually like a real life events or a real life person, it gives you a higher sense of stakes. Because sometimes you know where it's going, sometimes it doesn't, so you feel like you're learning something. I don't know. Like, it's a weird line to walk, and it's an interesting idea, because I can't remember the last time that it wasn't just an outright comedy where they were making this sort of thing presented as something based on actual events that wasn't. Mm. I don't know. I guess if you're being argumentative, you can say, like, everything's presented as if it's real. I don't know. Anyway, I think that show's interesting.
It's worth a watch, but it's not worth a watch if it's late at night and you're essentially gonna end tired, because you're just gonna fall asleep during it. It is very slow pace.
It's 10:40 p.m. We're gonna watch an episode right now.
Ugh.
But then when are you supposed to watch it? Like, in the middle of the day?
Don't do it when you're super sleepy.
People have like jobs.
Yeah, just don't do it when you're super sleepy, because it's a pretty slow paced show, but it's interesting. It's an interesting show, but it's not very compelling.
They do give her some interesting things to do every so often, like, because it's not just all her like prepping for the next chess match or something. There are things that she does, like she's gonna go and basically rip off this convenience store, like, and how she is going to get away with the next sort of petty larceny or petty crime or misdemeanor that she's attempting next. Like, when she goes to steal all those pills, like, tries to, like, stuff her pockets full of these balls and, like, takes a bunch of them as one. She's like, you stupid 9-year-old, why the fuck are you trying to take so many pills at the same time? You are going to die.
Yep. That was, like, the one fun scene, was when that little kid is standing there, and she just has all the drugs, she downs them all, and then just passes out.
Uh-huh.
Like, that was actually kind of a funny scene.
I don't think it was meant to be.
No, but it felt like it was. You're like, oh, there she goes. Like, it's just kids being rascals getting into the candy jar. Like, it's that's what it felt like to me.
Oh, you going after the narcotics.
Oh, man. I think it was the music they were playing with it. It was a very light music. They're uppity.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Maybe. All right, what else we got?
You haven't said anything. Is there anything you did not discuss on your thing?
We talked about BioShock. For like 10 minutes.
Right, we did talk about
there was that. I think that's really the only thing new that I've been getting at since I last recorded. I don't think I've watched anything either.
Well, I can tell you about two games I will be talking about.
What do we got?
So
are they
your
PS5
game,
or Xbox Series X
God
games?
Damn, I do not plan on buying that system for at least a year. Like, people who go nuts over at launch time are insane. Like, calm the fuck down. You will get it at some point.
I got cash set aside. I'm gonna get a PS4.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's a really nice library. You should do it soon while they still have new ones, instead of buying only available if you've used.
Yeah, it's gonna be within the next, like, before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna grab one, because I've already bought a game. I already bought Persona 5.
Nice.
Because I had Amazon rewards built up, and like, well, this is free, so go ahead and send it to me. So yeah, I'm going to start with Persona 5 and Final Fantasy 7, because there's like a good 10 or 12 games
lend you 7, so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
There's a good 10 or 12 games in the library that I want to get through.
There's a lot on there you really should just look through, so.
Yeah, I did. There's a lot of things I don't want to play. but the Final Fantasy 7, Persona for sure. I want to do the Shadow of the Colossus remake.
That was good.
I want to do Horizon Zero Dawn. I want to give that shot.
That was great. I want to get back to that. I want to play it again.
Nier Automata. I want to give that one a shot.
You may like the God of War.
No.
No?
No.
No interest in God of War?
No, not really. I played that Platinum game, Astral Chain, and then I'm going to play Bayonetta, and I think that will be enough action games for me for a while. I'm like, oh, and No More Heroes 3. I'm going to be playing triple the hack and slashes that I usually do. No, I got no time for God of War. I can't remember the other ones on my list right now. But anyway.
So, your BioShock game, I got at Target because we're having a buy two, get one free deal.
Oh, nice.
So, your game was the free one.
Yeah. What else did you get?
I got the Tony Hawk Pro Skater for the PS4.
Okay.
Because I loved that game back in the day on my PS2.
That's the remake, right?
Yeah, it's got Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 on there.
Oh.
And I put many an hour into those games. And since I was like, let's keep this remake wise, because I'm buying Bioshock for John, about the Spyro collection.
Okay.
So I'm on board. I'm going to play through some Spyro. I grew up with that, I mean, as well. So I'm like, yeah, this is my childhood all over the place.
I don't think I've ever played a Spyro game.
I have The Last Guardian, as okay. We're flipping through your Amazon wish list.
Yeah, my Amazon, my handful of PS3 games, or PS4 games I want to try. Yeah, Resident Evil 2 and 3 remakes, of course. I want to play those.
But they're more faster paced. They're not like they're going to like right. more back in the day. Like right. They're very different.
Which is fine. I'm interested to try those out. And of course, Last Guardian I want to try, Final Fantasy 15. And there's a Star Ocean game that I don't think... I don't know. I might get to it at some point. We'll see.
I had Last Guardian. I haven't played it yet, but it was a very cheap download.
Okay.
I had an online sale for it, so I went ahead and grabbed that. You have Final Fantasy 15 there, too.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 15. I'll give that
one a shot. I can throw that one at your face, too. I got that.
Cool.
That one's going to take many an hour.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
Have you thought about like the Dragon Age game? There's Dragon Age Inquisition. I really enjoyed that one.
Nope.
No, really?
Hard pass. I don't care.
D-bag.
I mean, if you own it and you lend it to me, I'll give it as much attention as I gave Witcher 3, which Ryan brought over that one time, and after an hour and a half, I was like, nah, I'm good.
I think you'll like it. It's very exploratory, okay. And there's a lot of cool stuff going on, but it does get repetitive.
I'll at least try it. I mean, as I'm looking through my list here, I think it's funny that, like, four of these games are remakes of fucking PS1 and PS2 games. Anyway. So, yeah, you got Spyro and...
Tony Hawk,
yes.
Yeah.
Two more remakes.
A lot of remakes nowadays. I feel like a lot of companies are just like, how are we going to make our money? Remakes. Let's not fucking bother with... I mean, at least the remakes are legitimate remakes. Like, Spyro looks a lot better now.
And yeah, and not just like Tony HD remakes. Looks
a lot better now. Yeah. And they're not... They actually look pretty legit.
I mean, there's so many games. Like, I don't begrudge remakes, or just a straight remakes of games, because there's so much original content out there already. Sure, remake a game, and then someone who was born in, you know, 1999, which is gross, will be able to play these things for the first time. Cool. But yeah, anything else we want to address before we close it out here?
I'm pretty good.
So you're not standing in line for your PS5?
God, no. Those people are animals.
You were telling a story off air.
I was.
About launch day for PS5.
So we went with the premise of it of Target had a policy where we wouldn't sell them in the store. You couldn't come into a store and get one on launch day. They were for pre-orders and online purchases only.
Right.
So if you weren't one of those, you weren't getting it. You can come to the store and pick it up, but you couldn't come in and just buy one.
Was there like a 24-hour hold period for pre-order or something?
We
like
had
how long?
72
hours. Oh, wow. Okay.
On those pre-orders.
Generous.
So on Friday, I came in the day after, not 72, 48 hour. On Friday, I came in at 5 a.m. I had to get there super duper early before we opened.
Still nighttime.
Yep, it was. And there was a line outside the door. And it was the first day that we were able to sell physical copies in the store to people.
How was the mood of the line? Were people just kind of like standing there silently?
They're kind of just hanging out and just being, you know, I miss the midnight releases. Nobody really does that anymore. And it's sad. I mean, you had good ones. You have a couple of good stories for those.
Well, which is you know, midnight releases, because you could only really do them for consoles now, so they don't happen very often, because there used to be midnight releases for actual like game software. Maybe some places still do that, but now like with how popular just digital downloads have become, like you can pre-download it and then it goes live at midnight and then you just have it. You don't have to like wait in a store, you don't have to drive home or anything like that. You get that instant access, and that's the direction that, you know, like people who are really enthusiastic about gaming, I would conjecture that a lot of them are doing purely digital downloads. There's not a whole lot of...
Yeah.
I would say the majority of gaming enthusiasts at this point are probably doing digital downloads. I am not, but that's okay. I'll be the last
holdout. I'll do it here and there. Like, if they have a really good sale, I'll go ahead and just do a digital download.
Sure. But with... So if my supposition is correct, if the majority of enthusiasts, the type of people who would go to a midnight launch, are just getting digital copies. You know, there goes your audience to, like, why stay open at midnight if no one's going to show
up? Exactly. But it was fun, though. Like, I remember two games I bought at midnight release just so I can go to a midnight release, because it was just fun. Just hanging out in line, you meet a couple people you haven't met before, talk some games, play some Mario Kart and the DS. And
yeah, just hanging out, just having fun. We're number one.
It was a good time, man.
So
these people were sitting out there, and we go inside and take a look at what we had in stock. We had 12 PS5s, and 9 of them were under pre-orders, so we were not able to sell them. So we had 3 that we were able to sell. We walk out there, and we go, hey, guys.
Still at 5 a.m.
Still at 5 a.m., and we go, you, and you, you're the first line. We have PS5s for you. The rest of you might as well go home. We don't.
We got your eBay boxes right here.
Yep. We got you your second place trophies in the back, which is... So those 3 stayed, and everybody else was all bummer. I remember one guy, he was sitting in his chair, and his face went down to his hands, and he covers his face. And I just saw, like, the joy of life leave his body. Like, it was like a ghost, and it just fluttered off into the night. Like, it just... The kid looks so defeated. And he's like, you are kidding. I'm like, sorry.
and maybe, like, it's my own cynicism setting in, but, like,
good.
When I see people, like, waiting in line for, you know, hardware releases, I'm assuming that they're just going to turn around and resell them at this point. Like, I would be surprised.
They're going for $1,500, and people are buying them.
Right, which is insane. Yes. That is crazy. If I don't assume. I
mean, little Jimmy needs his PS5 on Christmas Day.
Right. Time. Right, God, if
little Jeff Goldblum,
little Gary Goldblum,
Goldman, yeah.
If you are listening and you are thinking about purchasing a PS5 on eBay for $1,500, please
just
don't
wait. It's please not that not. Important. It
don't
really isn't.
Don't reward this behavior.
No, my sister texted me. I was like, Jacob asked for a PS5 for Christmas. I'm like, he's 12. Of the 5 games that released, he may be able to play 2 of them.
He wants a PS like. Have him look forward to it when he's 13.
He's like, I can play all my current games on my PS5. Like, one, no, you can't. You have an Xbox. And 2, why not just play it on your Xbox?
Uh-huh.
Like, you little spoiled shit. Like, I love you to death, but God damn, you don't need a PS5. Mm. And she's like, all right, I'll tell him his Uncle Wes said that. I get a text at 9:30 at night from him going, Uncle Wes, Mom said to talk to you about the PS5. It's Jacob. I'm like, yeah, I know it's Jacob.
Wait, no. He has to have contact. It's a phone. What is he? Like, he doesn't know how contacts work.
I know it's Jacob. Like, I know, buddy. He's a cool little kid. My goddamn.
You should have responded. You should have responded. PS5 sucks. Who's this?
Who's this? New phone. Who dis?
maybe he assumes that you got a new phone. Like, anytime he, like, texts you, he has to say it's Jacob, because he's like, Uncle Wes is probably a drug dealer, so he probably has all these burner phones.
I have my 3rd one in the past year because it just keeps dying on me. So yeah, I think that's a pretty safe assumption.
I feel bad for making fun of him now. Because, yeah, I'm going to have to start texting you saying it's John.
It's John, by the way.
You might have a new phone.
Like, yeah, we were just talking about Gary Busey. Of course it's John. But, yeah, so these guys came in, and then
Jeff Busey.
So, 7:30 rolls around, and I'm out outside the back of the store.
2.5 hours later.
2.5 hours later, and the line is now wrapped around the building.
Oh, my God.
It is in the parking lot, and we go out there, and we go, what are you guys waiting for? Like, oh, we all want the PS5. And we look at the 3 kids that are sitting at the front of the line, and, like, why didn't you tell them, like, we did. We told them they only had 3 left. They didn't believe us. Like, there's 30 God. People out here.
Oh, my God.
How on earth did they think we have this many PS5s?
You know...
It was hilarious.
I asked you the same question when we were talking about this off-air. Like, the kids in front... Like, the people in front didn't tell them? There's like... They did tell them. They didn't believe them. And, you know, at first, that's like a facepalm. I'm like, oh, my God, how stupid are they? But... If I were the type of person who was going to a Target at 5:30 a.m.
Oh, they were there at 11 o'clock that night before.
Well, I mean, like, the people who came in. Like, after you sent everyone away. Yeah. The people who lined up afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
If I was showing up there, like, 5:15 after everyone got sent away. If I'm showing up there at 5:15, 5:30, everyone's except for those 3 people, and I start standing in line on the 4th, and they say, oh, they only have three. If I'm the type of person who's waking up at 5 a.m. to stand in line, I might not believe them either. Like, I'm just
going to write this out and see how it goes.
I woke up to get here super early. I'm just going to wait the 2 hours and find out for myself.
Yeah, that's fair. But we proceeded, because we had 9 PS5s in the system, to get literally 300 phone calls. I'm not even downplaying this. Like, I could not walk away from the phone on my desk because it just kept ringing. I'll pick up the phone. Target Electronics, this is Wes. We are out of PS5s. How can I help you? And then it's either dead silence, or it's laughter, or do you know anybody who does? And then click, wait 5 seconds, pick the phone back up. Target Electronics, this is Wes. We're out of PS5s. How can I help you? And it was just that. And it got to the point where I had to go to my boss multiple times and go, we need to do something. I literally cannot do my job.
Mm.
I cannot walk away from this phone. Guest service up front was doing the same thing. They had their little portable devices that we use to check inventory, but also works as a phone, and the actual landline phone that they had plugged in, and they were just going back and forth between these two phones. And we could not do our job because people were blowing the fuck out of our telephones.
Absolutely insane.
We finally did change it, but it also got to the point where a guy came in from Daytona. After the dude at his Target told him this Target, that our Target had them, so, and that he should go there and talk to our manager. So he did that. He came here and bitched to my manager.
So for context, to from Orlando to Daytona in the state of Florida, it's like an hour and a half drive.
Yes. He's like, I came from Daytona. I'm like, all right, that's nice. I can't sell you one. Like, I don't know what to tell you, dude. The system says it says 9 right now. You like put the phone at a point at like, he just uncovered the clue to the murder mystery.
You cracked the case. We do have 9. Oh, let me get you one.
I'm on my way. If it weren't for you meddling kids, I wouldn't be able to keep all these PS5s.
He must have found the map on the back of the Declaration of Independence. Holy, he found our shit. PS5s.
So I explained the whole thing to him. Like, these are pre-orders. I cannot sell them. They are reserved. I cannot. It's not my decision. I'm just a dude at Target.
Yeah, put yourself in the shoes of the person who had it pre-ordered. Like, if you had it pre-ordered and you know, like, hey, I'll be able to just stroll in there when I get off work that day at 6 p.m. and just go, and it'll be there waiting for me. Put yourself in that person's shoes where they go up to the counter. It's like, oh, no, we sold your pre-order.
Like, that's just fucked up.
Because a guy drove from Daytona. Like, fuck the guy from Daytona. Like, he followed the rules.
So I had to call my manager, and he was with him for, like, 20 minutes.
Okay.
Like, calm the fuck down, dude. These things, it's not like they're a limited edition. Like, we're only going to have PS5s for this week only. People, if you're listening to this and you haven't gotten your PS5, calm the fuck down. You will be able to get one at some point.
And then think about the games you actually want to play on it.
3 of them are also on the PS4. Uh-huh. That have the capability of upgrading to the PS5.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
It was nice. I hope that Nintendo does something like that in the future, where you can just kind of keep your library rolling over, you know, with the Switch 2 or the Super Switch.
Yeah. Oh, also, the one thing I keep forgetting about this story is a cop showed up.
Cool.
Cops
make every situation better.
Completely different, just shopping. Saw the state of the situation and decided, I'm going to hang out.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And so he walks into with the guys. They buy their 3 PS5s and he escorts them to the car. And while he's there, he's like, I want to go in the back. Because we did it up in guest service. We gave him the PS5s there instead of walking to the back of the store where the electronics department is. He goes, if you want any games, buy them somewhere else right now. These guys are looking at you weird. Like,
but buy them somewhere else. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's suck for sales. But at the same time, those kids were looking at him weird. I'm like, yeah, go with the cop. Like, stay safe right now.
Fucking volunteer police escort. Oh, my God.
He escorted the kids out to the parking lot.
Looking at him weird because they're hanging out with a cop. All right.
The cop showed up the next day and bought one of the 9 that did not get picked up.
Wait, so your pre-orders didn't get picked up?
None of the 9 got sold, and we sold them the day and the next in the morning.
God.
We sold them to 9 people. The cop that escorted them the day before was one of them.
Nice. that's a shitty situation, because, like, those 9 people, like...
Well, we held them up to a certain point, and the people who pre-order them should have known.
Yeah.
That we're only holding them up to this point.
I'm saying it's kind of shitty of them to, like, pre-order but then not get it.
Yeah.
Because then you're just creating drama.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't actually want it, don't pre-order it. If you have your pre-order, like, if you get one somewhere else and you'd rather get it from there, cancel your other one. It was probably, like, a safety net thing. I'm going to pre-order it from all these different places to make sure that I get one. Mm-hmm. It's not that important that you get these things day one.
No.
It is not that big of a deal.
The Miles Morales game is crashing the system to the point where it literally cannot be used anymore.
I like that.
It's if you're playing Miles Morales and you put the system to sleep, it will crash it.
Cool. That is some well-built firmware.
You don't buy a lot of consoles day one. You just don't fucking do it.
I bought a Switch day one.
It's a little different. It's Nintendo.
Well, you know, not that Switch didn't have its problems. Like, there are, like, Joy-Con drift is still an issue, like, almost 4 years later. Launch Switches, there was also, like, some warping that was happening because the system would get overheated.
Oh, good.
There was also issues with docking the Switch with launch models where it didn't line up exactly, so you get scratches on the side of your screens. I actually have that on my Switch because taking it in and out of the dock scuffs it, which is a bummer, but, you know.
I have a screen protector on mine.
You know, I never bought a screen protector for any sort of system. I'd wish I had gotten one for the Switch because it probably would have helped.
I dropped mine outside of Ryan's apartment.
Uh-huh.
It slipped out of its case on his gravel road. It was not even gravel. His road was like, there was like legitimate rocks.
Yeah, I think it was like hypodermic needles and razor blades.
Yeah, it was.
He was in a bad neighborhood.
It was really messed up. So it landed face first, and there's scuffs on the side of the Joy-Cons, but the screen's fine.
Oh, good.
Because I have the fucking
$50
Zag screen protector that I bought. I bought the super nice one.
$50, that's a game. Now I'll take the scratches.
I'll take the scratches. But, you know, I was able to replace it, so. Screen, so it's great. It was worth it. Yeah, so that's my story with the PS5. Fuck that thing.
So the most important question is, like, did you get an equal amount of calls for Xboxes?
No. I literally
got like 8 Xboxes that no one wanted.
I'm not even joking. I got one. I call it, like, we're out of PS5. So he goes, that's nice. I'm looking for the Xbox. And I go, why?
Like, so you're a unicorn, sir. Please come in. I want to meet you. I don't have any, but I want to meet you.
I want to meet you and shake your hand. That launch went so smoothly. But, yeah, the systems look ridiculous, too. Like, the PS5 looks like the mini fridge, and the Xbox Series X looks like a router. Like, the things look so stupid.
Yeah, they're big, too. They're quite large.
And the Friday, that night, we had this display on the floor that I hated. It was on wheels and everything, and it had some PS5 games that we had in keepers and some actual PS5 controllers that we had spider-wrapped, security-locked. Someone just came in, loaded up a bag, and just walked out the store with it. I mean, we kind of stopped him and ended up dropping the majority of it, but I think he still got away with, like, 2 controllers and a couple games.
Huh.
And I'm looking at them, I go, this is why I didn't want to put this here. Like, as I turn to my bosses and go, this is why.
That's crazy. The balls on that guy.
He just ran into the woods next to the mall, and he was gone. Like, we did not catch him.
Well, no. You shouldn't have ran that hard.
He pushed over our team lead. Like, the team lead jumped in front of him and goes, stop! And he just shoved him over and kept going.
The balls on that guy, my goodness.
Oh, it's so good. The new systems, goddamn people, calm the fuck down.
So the Xbox launched, like, a week before or something?
No, 2 days before. It came out on the... I have no idea. It came out 2 days before, the Tuesday... PS5 came out on Thursday, the Xbox came out on Tuesday.
Okay.
So it was 2 day difference. It was like the 10th and the 12th. Actually, I think that's right.
And there was no line, no issues with that one?
Not that I was off that day, but I haven't heard any stories. I think people just came in and grabbed what we had and left. We had a few of them.
Do you still have it? Like, are you sold out?
No, we don't have any of those. We got no consoles, except we got some Switches in today.
What?
Yeah. The Animal Crossing Switch we got in.
Uh-huh.
Which we've been selling. We've been getting a lot of those. I'm really surprised.
That's good, though.
Our special Black Friday Switch that we get every year came in. which I find this is the thing that is hilarious to me. I opened the box today and I cracked the fuck up that we are still selling this Switch. It is a Black Friday exclusive Switch that Target sells. It is a regular plain Switch that just comes with Mario Kart pre-downloaded.
Yeah.
Same price as $299. The thing is, it's still the same Switch as the launch Switch model. It's not the new Switch that they came out with that has the bigger battery life and everything.
Oh, sure.
It's still the launch Switch model.
Huh.
So...
Interesting.
It's still the worst Switch. It's hilarious.
Because I would have thought that once, you know, they had that model with the different battery, that they'd phase that one out.
It's the same box and everything. It's exactly the same. Like, I don't see this being the new Switch.
They must be manufacturing them both still then, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It must be like, or maybe like they had to like...
That's my guess it is, because it's in the exact same box we had every single year.
Huh.
And I don't think they're like making new ones of these. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is just a warehouse that they just have left over. Like, we really should get rid of these things.
Switches have been such high demand, they would have like pushed everything out the door. Well, I would assume they would try to push everything out the door. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe there's someone like twisting their mustache saying, no, we hold these until...
hold the line.
We hold these till Black Friday. We slap the Mario Kart sticker on there and say, this is a bundle.
This is so funny that we're still getting these fucking Switches. But, you know.
But that, I mean, it's not much of a bundle. It's...
You get one free game.
Yeah.
And it's Mario Kart.
Yeah, it's Mario Kart 8, which is a game that came out in 2014.
On the Wii U.
Yeah.
So good. So good. But people will lose their fucking mind over this thing.
Yeah, I mean, only 13 million people owned Wii U's, so... Damn near half of them had Mario Kart 8, but most people haven't played this game, so it's new to everyone.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't think there'll be a Mario Kart 9 on Switch.
Probably not.
Be the next system. Yeah. Super Switch.
Super Switch. Switch I really 2. Hope it is Super Switch.
Nah, if they keep the same sort of form factor and just keep on going with this line of system, I think they'll call it something stupid. I think they should call it Switch 2, because it needs to be like, this is definitely something new. Don't be stupid. This is a new system.
This is the Switch U.
That would be a delight. Anyway, yeah, new console launches are stupid.
Oh, God,
they're stupid. And like I was just looking at Xbox Series X on eBay, and it looks like it's ranging anywhere from like 16, and there are some people trying to ask for like 11, 12, 1300 bucks for it.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Just don't do it. You'll get it eventually. Little Jimmy will get one day. You don't need to be the world's best dad. You could just be a great dad and get him something he would. You don't have to lose a limb over.
Yeah.
Cough up his college tuition.
And you know, there are times that I wish that the actual like, hardware manufacturer, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, would actually like step in and say, like, no, you can't. We're not going to allow, or we're going to try to fight this from happening, because it's not doing any sort of service to any sort of customer base. Like, this is just people taking advantage of situations. It is tough to try to stop it, because they buy it, it becomes theirs, they're allowed to do what they want with it.
Yeah.
But right now, like, the hardware manufacturers don't give a shit. Like, they don't care if people like, just jump over and try to resell the product, because they got the sale. They got their money from the initial sale, so why do they care if it gets flipped?
Which, we tried to do that in our electronics department. We limit sales.
Uh-huh.
That
seems to be the extent of what the manufacturers can do. Like, if they're selling something like on their own online store, they'll limit per customer.
I fought people with it, especially with like the... this guy pisses me off. But he came in and he wanted to buy two of the Animal Crossing Switches.
Uh-huh.
I limited it to one. He went to talk to my manager. Manager still said no. He came in the next day and bought another one from a coworker of mine. And I saw it after the sale went through. And then I found out he's already bought six other ones from various Targets. So this dude is clearly a reseller who's just going around cleaning them up. I hate that kind of shit. Like, these people or dirtbags.
Well, hopefully, like, since you're getting a lot of Animal Crossing Switches in, hopefully he's not able to do anything with it. Like,
hopefully.
People are just wise that, like, I can just walk into a store and get these. Why would I pay this guy's double price?
I thought about eliminating one guy earlier today because we got the Game & Watches in.
Oh, yeah, the Mario Brothers ones.
Yeah, we got that one, which it looks cool. I don't think it's worth $50.
No. It looks cool. It's a neat way to play Super Mario Brothers. Like, there, that's it.
And Game & Watch Ball.
Yeah. there's nothing to this thing. It's a gadget.
Yeah.
And I would go far as to say, I don't think it's going to be worth anything.
No. He bought two of them, but at that point, I was like, who cares? I got four more boxes of this, and I don't think it's going to sell well.
Yeah,
it looks cool. It's one of those things. I was even telling my coworker, like, I would buy this because it looks cool, but I would play through the game and then it will just sit on my shelf as decoration.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's.
I don't think it's going to have nearly the same sort of value as like an NES Classic or Super Nintendo Classic. Like, though those were much more like hunted for. This thing is kind of an afterthought, like impulse buy kind of thing. Like, oh, cool, that thing. Sure, I'll take it. I don't think
$50 impulse buy.
Right.
God damn.
But man, when you compare it to people like trying to gobble up PS5s for $1,500 on eBay, yeah, $50.
If it was like $20, I probably would pick it up. You're like, yeah, whatever. But $50, god damn.
Yeah. It's a game. Like, it seems
it's a very old game that I think is on their Nintendo.
Yeah, on their online.
On their online thing.
You know, I'm sure that like they did some sort of market research, like what can we move this thing for? What is it? Was it costing us to manufacture this thing? They hit a sweet spot to them,
and then they ignored the market research and just released it for $50.
It would not have cost them anything. It would cost them pennies to then just load up ROMs for Mario 2, Mario 3, Mario World. Like they had it worth it. They had these ROMs loaded up with games so that it's a better prospect than another way to play Super Mario Brothers. Which is a noted good game, but it costs you nothing to just load it up to make it something that's just like $50 for all this. Sure. Even then, you need Mario 1, 2, and 3. You need Lost Levels, Super Mario World, maybe Yoshi's Island. Like $50, like get 10 games on there somehow.
Yeah, I'm sure people can hack it and do that.
Dr. Mario.
Ah, Dr. Mario.
Get some Dr. Mario on there. I'm sure they could. Like, it probably charges with a USB-C.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get that on there, and yeah, you can get in. All right, anyway.
That's a pretty good little mini show.
Yeah, I think we're at the end here. Next up is going to be the retro show. It's going to be a good one, because we got Resident Evil 2 and Donkey Kong 64, which is a game I got to download.
I haven't played that one.
I'm not gonna get the cartridge for that one because you can get it on the Wii U Virtual Console. So I'm gonna use the Wii U.
Wait, you can still buy games on the Wii U Virtual Console? Is that still up?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Wii Virtual Console went just a year or two ago when they finally shut down that storefront. So yeah, the Wii U. You know, we're probably looking at a couple more years of that being still available. With some things got removed. I don't think we ever talked about this, but when Pikmin 3 Deluxe launched on Switch three weeks ago, they removed Pikmin 3 from the Wii U eShop.
Oh.
So the only option to get it was either like buy it physically on Wii U or you get it on Switch.
Luckily, you already have it.
Yeah, I own it physically, but I was going to say I need to fact check, but I can't because it's not on there anymore. But I think at the time on the Wii U eShop, it was like $20. And then, you know, they're selling it for $60 on Switch. Guys, come on. Nintendo, I know you're listening. Come on. Like, when you do these ports, give people a break. Like, $40. $40, I think, is fair. Right in the middle of being like, Not a premium price point, not quite budget. Like, you should be able to at least break even on this shit at $40. Like, charging $60 for these ports at this point, come on. That's my argument. And I don't think you have a counter argument. Just come on.
I did hold Age of Calamity in my hands today.
Oh, yeah?
Today came in.
Because that one's out in 4 days, time recording here. Yeah. We'll discuss it on the official show at the end of the month.
I'll play yours. I can't drop another $60 this month.
Not with that attitude.
Ugh.
Yes, you can.
I just can't do it.
Yes, you can. That's it. That's the end. Till next time.
See you all. Thank you.